Today we're going to look at some things in the Word of God for rightly dividing the Word of Truth. And this has been a really big key for my understanding in the Word of God. When in 1993, some dispensational Bible believers come to me and started sharing me, probably 92, started sharing some things about the Word of God as saying, what do you think about this? And what do you think about this? And many of us probably sitting here today has been in denominational churches that we would say, okay, he's the man of God, he knows all the words, and we don't question him. But I'm not saying you go tack your preacher or something like that, but when they gave us some things about who is God talking to in Acts chapter 2. You know, it's very clear. Who is he talking to? So when you come to understand the Word of God, and what we're going to do here for the next probably 26 weeks or so is the fact that we're going to start studying the Word of God rightly divided. But first of all, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 3 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. The first things we're going to look at today in this course, if you will, to help you understand the Word of God and be able to build you up, to make you understand how you have the Word of God and be able to show it to somebody else that may be lost and dying and going to hell. We're going to look at salvation. We're going to look at how you study the Bible. And we're going to look at sound bites or contrasts. So this is really going to be a teaching atmosphere to be able to teach you, to be able to teach others. That's Timothy 2:2. Chapter 4, verse 10. Looking at salvation here. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of how many?
All
men, especially those that believe. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You will use your Bible. We always say, let your fingers do the walking, but God's words does the talking, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the fullness of preaching to save them that believe. Okay, it's salvation through the Word of God. It's salvation by preaching. Preaching what? The Word. Preaching the death, burial, and resurrection. Romans 10:17 says, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. You have to hear the Word of God in order to be saved. Okay? You hear the Word of God, you believe it, and it saves you. Okay? Study. 2 Timothy 2:15. This will be a little slow for a little while, so y'all just hang on. We'll change gears a little bit. Got to get some groundwork here for your study here. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the only verse in your Bible that will tell you what to do. First, you got to what? Study. Why do you want to study? To be approved in God. Okay? And how do you do it? Okay, you rightly divide the word. You don't wrongly divide it. Some people don't divide it at all. Or they say Old Testament, New Testament. Okay, you have to rightly divide the word of truth. And it's not truth from error. We all know how to divide truth from error. But you got to divide truth from truth. Then you have 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given by the prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, giving them thyself wholly unto them, that thou profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continuing them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and thou that hear thee. So you got to study for a reason. You got to understand salvation for a reason. You got to study the Word of God when you teach it. When you understand contrasts, as JJ pointed out a little while ago. Then we look at sound bites. Sound bites is something that you can look at just to create teaching situations. Last week, you know, I shared with you a gentleman I've been working with, and I was worried about where he's going to spend eternity. And he mentioned, we was talking about some things, and he goes, we both transitioned to another account, which is kind of scary, by the way, you know, especially we've been places there for 11 years or so. And he said, well, it really don't matter because the world's going to end December 21st, 2012. And what did my mind think right then and there?
Witness.
Yeah. Here's an opportunity. You know, I said, well, if that's the case, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? And I said, if you don't know, would you want to know? You know what his reply was? I don't want to know. I said, well, I know you, since you told me that, I know where you're at, but me as a preacher, I needed to just share some things with you. I didn't beat them up. I didn't point fingers at them. I just shared what God did at Calvary for all of us. And it's his choice. That's one thing God never does is violate your free will. So that's very, very important. So when you look at some things, you know, we used to say with the little fish on people's cars, you know, or you see on a shirt or around their neck, oh, you're a fisherman. You know, just to try to break the ice and find out where they're at. You're not going to step on their ignorance, if you will. But you know, you just look at some things. So you create teaching situations. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and Colossians chapter 1. It's warm in here. Oh, Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 9. He just told you up there in chapter 3 on down about if you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me, to you, which was in other ages was not made known. So you cannot find this mystery that was revealed to Paul from God Almighty, Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified risen state. You cannot find this mystery anywhere in the Old Testament. Period. It was hidden God. And I know what some people says, it was hidden in his word, and I beg to differ. Because if it was hid in the word of God in times past, and I've got brothers and sisters that believe that wholeheartedly, Satan would have picked it up in a heartbeat because he knows this word of God much better than you and I do. And he would, it clearly tells you in Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because he don't want to give up the heavenly purpose. This mystery program that God is doing, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because I'm going to show you some advantages and disadvantages in a minute, is the fact that God, what God is doing today in a dispensation of grace, he's taking a body of believers that trust that his son died and buried and rose again, and he places you in the heavenly places. He uses nation Israel for the earthly program that he raised Israel up to be a kingdom of priests, to be sanctified, to be set apart. And you know what they did? They fought. They failed. They followed after the God of this world. And that's why when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he came with, he said, don't think I came to, you know, bring friendship. And we're going to look at this. He came to call us division. He was going to set mother against daughter, father against son. Because they was all joining hands with that religious, I'm pointing up here to the chart, but this is the true line of Israel, and over here is the Gentiles. But they were supposed to have been a true religious system that God set forth. But today, we'll look at some other things. But look what verse 9 says, and to make how many men?
All men.
all men to see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in who?
God.
God, who created all things by who? Jesus Christ. First Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 25 says, "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory to hid the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in who? Christ Jesus." So when we look at contrasts and teaching situations, this is what we want to do. You know, I love the fact that Paul's message, and I'm not glorifying Paul. We're glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ through Paul. Okay, you got that. Okay, Paul is the apostle to the body of Christ. Peter is the apostle to the kingdom saints over here. And people will glorify Peter before they would Jesus Christ in some religions. Okay, Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked the earthly ministry, he said, "What did Moses tell you what to do?" See, Moses was the lawgiver, and it meant something all through this program. Okay. So we were creating teaching situations by making all men see what is fellowship and mystery. Let's look at some advantages and disadvantages. Go with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2.
Advantages to being the body of Christ?
Yeah, advantages of... Let me share this. Not so much being a vanished body of Christ. We're going to look in the next several weeks of something very, very important in God's Word by rightly dividing the Word of Truth. You've got to understand something, prophecy, and you've got to understand something and about a mystery. Okay? And if you will, that's what I'm talking about. There's advantages in times past of being a part of Israel's program for the kingdom saints. And there's also disadvantages not being a part of that program. Okay? It got nothing to do with the body of Christ right now. But look, what did I say again? Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11. "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of flesh made by hand." Okay, there's a time period and times past in your Bible that God made a distinction. God made a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. Okay? So if you look at your Bible, if you had your Bible in your hand, you went from Genesis all the way over to Acts chapter 9, if you hold that, that's times past. Okay? In times past, look at verse 12. "That ye, that at that time," what time is that? "Ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant's promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Nobody in my young life going up in a Baptist church, if you don't mind me saying, ever shared that verse with me. Ever. And I'm telling you, when I see it now, it scares me. Because nobody ever told me in times past I was without God, without hope, without Christ, without aliens, strangers. Did he tell y'all? No. So there's a times past, if I close this up, in times past, we're talking about, we would normally think Genesis through Malachi. God made a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. So there was advantage there. But by reading that verse, who had the advantage? If being a Gentile, which you were in times past, did you have advantage or disadvantage?
Disadvantage.
Disadvantage. Very clear. Hold that thought for a minute. Go over John chapter 4. and get Luke, John chapter 4 and Luke chapter 12. When we look at the Word of God, and we're going to be teaching about divisions, okay, about understanding the Word of God rightly divided, you cut straight. And by doing this and by understanding where you at in God's program, it will help you build an understanding of what God is doing today. Okay? If look at verse 49 in Luke chapter 12. Luke 12, verse 49. See what the Lord Jesus Christ on earth said about this. I am come to send, Luke 12, 49. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be ready already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened until it be accomplished. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. Question there, isn't it? I tell you, nay. But rather what? Division. Now, we know what this... Emmanuel says, peace on earth, you know, and goodwill towards all man. You just went through a whole season for that, didn't you? You know, God was born to bring what? Peace. But what does he say here? For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. And the father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against the her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Whew. Have all them people in one house. That would have been... Okay? You see, he brought division. You got to understand about division, because you can read that right now and get up, you know, in your mind like what's going on. The Word of God is pure, okay? And I want to share this with you. My Bible has no contradictions in it all. And when you understand there's a difference between contradiction and contrast, you'll believe that you can understand there's God's word is for us. You know, it's God's word. You know, many of you here are old enough to know that when you your father and your grandfather and even yourself, when you gave somebody your word, it meant something. You know, I'm serious. I'll be there. Shake on it. Sometimes you didn't even shake on. I watched my grandfather. You want, furniture built? No problem. I'll have it ready. He didn't ask for nothing, down payment, nothing. It was his word to have it ready, and that's where we need to be in God's word. We need to understand it. It is God's word. Look at where did I say to go? John. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 22. You know the story about the woman and the well, but look at verse 22. And ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the
Jews.
Okay, got that? In times past, God made a distinction between Jew and Gentile, okay, or Israel and the nations, if you will. A lot of people don't like to use the Jewish word because they may think you hate them or whatever, but that's a religion, okay? Jews is a religion. God made a distinction in time past, but what did the Lord Jesus Christ said salvation was to who? Okay, got it? Matthew 10. Get Matthew 10.
You had to be Jewish, not necessarily Hebrew.
To be... The Hebrew nations are Hebrews. You couldn't be a Hebrew unless you was born that way. The Jews are religion, so a Gentile could be up here on this top line apart, but they became a Jew, a proselyte, if you will. Okay?
There's two ways.
Yes, there's two ways. And we looked at that through many, many studies and fundamentals. You look at the fact that God made a provision for anybody to be saved in time past. but you had to come from this bottom line where Gentiles was, and you either became a proselyte or you blessed those who blessed them. The Abrahamic covenant: I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. That way, when you came through here, when you worked the program of God did, and it came upon somebody like a Roman centurion that paid much alms to somebody, he knew that they was a part of the program. They got their blessings. Today, people and today people think by blessing Israel, you get blessings. Okay, there's still people that thinks that they think by now, and we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. But when we work through the program, you're going to see now God's not don't have a favorite nation because everybody is down here. And when Paul talks about the Gentiles, if you didn't believe what Peter, James, and John preached back here before the fall, then you're a heathen. And Paul went to you, and you had to believe what Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. But yes, you necessarily didn't have to be you had to become a Jew to get in that promises. Where did I say to go? Matthew 10. I know. But before we go to Romans chapter. I'll get it going here in a minute. I'll get it going. Just bear with me, please. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And John chapter 4 verse 12. Was it advantage to be a Jew or disadvantage?
Advantage.
Advantage, okay. What about Romans chapter 9, 4 and 5? Who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and promises? Who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Advantage or disadvantage?
Advantage.
Very much so. What does Romans 3:1 says? Yes, for Israelites.
All right, what was the next verse?
Romans 3, 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew? And what profit is there in circumcision? Much everywhere, chiefly because that unto them committed the oracles of God. They had the oracles of God in times past, Israel did. That was advantage, because if I lived back here as a Gentile, I wouldn't have those advantages. That's why I showed you before a disadvantage before I showed you advantage in Ephesians chapter 2, where I was at. Now, you might not have been that way, but I was. According to God's Word in times past, I was without God. Okay? That is totally different. What we just read is totally different from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Okay, I'm wanting to show you some contrast here. Okay, so when you leave, you might say, that man's either going to say, that man's nuts, or you're going to say, wait a minute, there's something to this. See what the teaching is. You know, you find out where somebody's at, and then you build off of it. We'll talk about that, you know, in the coming weeks. Go to Matthew chapter 20.
I come in a right time to be taught because I believe, but I just get confused and really not understanding. You know, I've been raised in all of this. I just really didn't understand.
Many of us is there. You know, and a lot of times we get confused and we just put the Bible away and say, you know something? That book, I can't understand it. And you pick up books about the book about the book, and you believe the book about the book about the book. You know, or just say, you know, I believe God, and that's fine. But God wants you today to be to all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There's truth in this word. And once you understand where God is doing today, that He's not operating this system in back here, even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and that hurts some people, or you know, you start talking that, because God, here's what people does, if you don't mind me saying, people will do this. People will take you to the cross to be saved, that Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again. And you trust that and you're saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. But they'll take you back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and said, okay, now you got to live this. If you understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and after we do this, we are going to the book of Matthew, and we're going to spend a good year or so in the book of Matthew to understand that that book is written for this purpose over here in the kingdom. Okay? And people put you under Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is a law system, and it's a performance system, and you're like, man, I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm doing it for Jesus. And next thing you know, and you go start wearing yourself down. And you know something? Those people, Lord, people in Matthew, Mark, they cannot do it. That's why the wonderful message of grace through Paul tells us, let Christ in you do it. And when Christ and you do it, it makes a difference, because now you know the Word of God rightly divided. You know what's to you. You know what God is doing out here. And you can understand everything else. That's why it's very, very important to understand times past, but now and ages to come we'll share. And you know God made these divisions. We didn't. God did it. So we acknowledge what God is doing. You know, getting back to some dispensational truths, in the first five books of your Bible. Let me ask you this. Does God ever change? Isn't He the same yesterday, today, and forever? But in the first five books of your Bible, Adam was a vegetarian. Every tree was for his meat. You understand? Then the flood came. Okay? He told Noah, you catch it, you can eat it. Okay? Then Moses, all right, Moses, clean and unclean. Well, first five books, three things changed. Did God change?
No.
But the way He dealt with man changed. So that's what we call a dispensation. How He dispenses the news. This is the promise, Abraham. Then He dispensed the law, Moses. And that law takes you all the way over here to Paul. Then a dispensation of grace, which was committed to me, Paul says, is now. Then you have the dispensation of the kingdom over here. Then Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 says the dispensation of the fullness of time, where He takes the heaven and the earth and reconciles it back to His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's finished. That's the purpose and the theme of the whole Bible. It's about authority and about over the whole universe. Man, if you just rest in that alone and say, wow, only God could do that. Amen. You and I would mess that up in a heartbeat. And guess what? Daddy Adam did, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He messed it up. When Eve was deceived, but Adam made a choice. I think, honestly, if Adam would, they walked with God. God taught them this Word. They had God the Creator with them every day. And Adam knew. But you know what Adam failed to do? Instruct his wife. You know? And she got along with Satan, and he deceived her. And Adam should have, we didn't always joke around. I'd grab my wife by the hair of the head and drug her to God and said, look what she did. But I would have done the same thing Adam done. You know, you would. He loved her. You know, so he fell for the same thing. But he made that choice. So so that's the problem where man sinned. But today, if you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, you don't go back to Adam no more. You go back to Christ. See? And that's where we come in to play. Hey, I'll tell you this, and I'll be honest with you. I don't care what your past was. I worry about what you're doing now. Okay? That's what God's worries about. He don't care about it. He throwed all that stuff away. Follow me? Where did I say to go again? Yes?
The other thing I think is confusing for a lot of new believers or followers of the grace movement is that the New Testament only comes into effect when the testator dies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what they did was the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and called it New Testament. Had they called it part of the Old Testament, different story, different
view. Right. And we've studied through that, the fact that even in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we're going to look through that even deeper, the fact that even Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was records of Christ's earthly ministry. And Paul tells you in Romans 15:8 that Christ was made a minister over there. But look at Matthew chapter 20 right quick. Matthew chapter 20. Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give His life a ransom for... What's that word? Many. There, go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for... many, for the remission of sin." Jesus Christ is telling the nation Israel, "I come to shed my blood for all of you." Is that what you read? Mm-mm. For many. There's many of us wearing glasses right now. We use this reference a little bit. But all of us are not. So Jesus Christ came. Well, you're the ones wearing glasses today gets the cinnamon rolls and coffee. Okay, the ones with you don't, and contacts don't count, Josh. I'm sorry.
But he also tells them in this verse, this is when the New Testament, he's telling them, this is a New Testament, when my blood is shed.
But that and the verse before that was for many. Jesus Christ came to die for the nation Israel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And this gets confusing for a lot of people, but I'm not going to step on that right now. But think about that. God came for the nation Israel because they was the chosen people on this earth to be elevated above all nations. There was no other nations that God was nigh to. And through their reign, they had authority on this earth. They're supposed to set up authority. God was come. They're supposed to welcome Him. And He died for them. Okay? Let me ask you, for an Israelite or Jew, advantage or disadvantage to be in this program? Advantage. Okay? Advantage. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Or excuse me, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Absolutely. Absolutely. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We just read at the beginning, "Who have of all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. That man is who? Christ Jesus." Okay? "Who gave Himself a ransom for many to testify in due time." What's all? Wait a minute now. Over here, it's many. Right here, it's all. What's going on, people?
Different dispensation.
This is different dispensation. God through Paul's talking, because you don't understand the full message of what God is doing for all people till you get to Paul. That's why it's very, very important to understand your Word of God, rightly divide it, and who is your apostle for one. And who, all the Bible's for us. Everybody agree? Can't you get profit for I can learn what Israel did over here and get profit out of it. All the Bible's for us, but not all of it's to you. And when you understand rightly dividing the Word of God, you say, okay, Genesis through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, first part of Acts, is to nation Israel. Gentiles was involved, but Romans through Philemon, you can understand, well, God is doing something different. We have mail. We've got mail today that God is actually writing a book to us. Well, the whole book's for us, but there's some chapters in there for you to build you up in doctrine and be able to stand on this stuff. And then Hebrews through Revelation goes back to understand that God made a division between circumcision and uncircumcision. And it deals with that time period. But look, advantage or disadvantage right here for all. Hey, all of you can have cinnamon rolls and coffee now. Yes, sir.
So what you just said was the new covenant will be started at the cross. But according to this in Timothy, everybody didn't know that yet because it was the Apostle Paul who really gave the message of the new covenant and when it started, because it says here that he gave himself to be a ransom to be testified in due time.
Due time.
Not right away.
Right.
And then the next verse says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. That whereunto means for this purpose. So it was really the Apostle Paul whose purpose was to testify in due time.
In due time. He is the...
To the new covenant starting at the cross. But people didn't know that because Paul came well after the cross.
Well, a year after. And Acts chapter 1 versus Acts chapter 7 is 1 year in your Bible.
So there was transition time.
Yeah, there's transition. And when Paul was raised up in Acts chapter 9, that's why we call ourselves mid-Acts. Okay? A lot of people says Acts chapter 2, the body of Christ started. Okay? A lot of people says Acts chapter 28. Okay? Okay? Sure. Acts chapter 2 over, okay? Over here. Okay? All right, but what God gave Paul on the road to Damascus, he never revealed that to anybody. And Paul is the due time testator. Okay, but when we talk about New Testament covenants, you got to be very careful with that, because the body of Christ, I believe, we're not a covenant people. God never made a covenant with us. He made a promise. We're inheritance. But you're talking about the New Testament stuff did start right there. Okay, because he just said that. Okay, let's keep moving along a little bit. Look, go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Once we get to some of this advantage, disadvantage, next week it'll pick up a little better for us to move a little quicker. But hey, Matt. We are. We're savoring the moment.
Well, I don't mean to be disrespectful either when I ask her. I don't want to interrupt you, so I'm kind of asking her a lot of things.
Okay.
So I'm
That's fine. That's fine.
Along.
Take notes. Look at this. Matthew 10, 5. Jesus, verse 11, 10, 1 says, And when he came and called unto him the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal some manners of sickness and some manner of diseases. How many?
All.
Hey, people, I believe the God that I serve, when he walked this earth and he gave the authority to the 12, and he had authority, when he touched you, it was straightway immediately whole without error. I would not have to go to 15 chemotherapy treatments and take 900 pills to get over cancers. That's the way I believe. Now, you may feel differently. That's between you and God. But I would not be wearing these right now. My God is, when he touched me, it was straightway immediately. Whole. Whole means something. He made you whole. Why did he make them whole at the time? They was going into a
kingdom.
That's what's supposed to be happening. You don't go in a kingdom. Even if you cut your arm off, he tells you, over, you're going in kingdom. But guess what? He's going to give it back. He's God. But look, all manners of sickness, all manner of diseases. And he lists the 12 there, if you want to know them by name. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go into the way of the Gentiles. You're to be tearing me up right now.
Well,
Go not unto the way of the Gentiles, or to any city of Samaria, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at... It's at... It's not offered. It's at hand. There's things in that cabinet's at hand. Until I go over, it's not offered till I get it. But look what he says. Go not into the way of the what? Down here on this bottom line refers to the Gentiles, nations. Up here is the nation Israel. And God is telling them, in order that Israel, the nations to be blessed, they have to go through Israel to get to God. Period. Period. Advantage or disadvantage for the Gentiles? Luke 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 13. Luke 13. Luke 13, verse 11. And behold, there was a woman with a certain infirmity of 18 years and bowed together and could in no wise lift herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her to him and said to the woman, thou art loose from thy infirmities. And as he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the rulers of the synagogues answered in indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which they ought to do work, and in them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite. Now he's answering who? The religious leaders, aren't he? Yeah. Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to the watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of who?
Abraham.
Whom Satan had bound low these 18 years, be loose from this bond, on the Sabbath day? What was the advantage of this lady? Hold your finger there and go to Matthew 15. There's an advantage there, wasn't there? Matthew 15. Matthew 15. Verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievous vexed with the devil. Now this woman knew who Jesus Christ was. But who was she?
A Gentile woman.
Okay? She knew that who Jesus Christ was. But, look at verse 23. But he answered her not a word. And he said, yeah, I mean, come on. This is serious. Look, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. She come and cries after us. She's not leaving. She came to God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He answered her not a word. She's coming to the disciples. And he's saying, hey, she's crying after us. And he goes on and says, but he answered and said, he does answer, but he still don't answer her. He says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. And when you start to understand why his lost sheep of the house of Israel has to be fed. Israel was his son. Israel was his child. And he was going to feed that child and discipline that child so they'd be able to teach other people. Okay? But they failed miserably all through here. But look. But he answered and said, by the way, the lost sheep of house Israel is different from Romans 15:8. That's where Paul says that Jesus Christ was made a minister. Okay. A lot of Bible versions out there says has become. And that's an error. Very, because Paul, Jesus, Paul is not, if you read that has become in 15:8 that says that Jesus Christ has become, Paul is saying right now Jesus Christ has become a minister of the circumcision. And he was a minister. We didn't read verses. He became a, not to be minister to, but to minister. But look, verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." She's not giving up, is she? I wouldn't either. Look, but he answered her. He answered and said, he finally answers her, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the Gentiles." You think about that. Mike just said Gentiles. They was name callings over here. Remember when we first we're talking about circumcision, uncircumcision? They was Jew, Gentile, dogs. Remember the big Philistine giant? You come to me like I'm a dog. They was name calling back there. You think they're name calling today? Yeah. But look, cast my bread and cast it to the dogs. It's not meek, Jesus said, not meek, to take my children's bread and give it to the dogs. But look what he says. Well, she says, and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." She knew her position in times past.
And she didn't get in the flesh when she was reminded
of who she was. She knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, but she put her position down there and she got under the table of where people, the Israelites, was eating. And she was willing to eat the crumbs. And what does he say? He says, "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith." She had faith in that. She had faith in the program. Okay? Look at Luke 19. There was a disadvantage there. Yes, sir.
So was it her faith that got this done, or was it her acknowledgement of her position that got this done?
I believe both. I believe she understood who Lord David, son Lord, son of David. She knew who he was, but she also had to line up with the program.
She knew where to get in, where she fit in.
Right. Right. She couldn't get in any other way because he's walking away. You know? And she said, "It's not meek." And she acknowledged that. And she said, "No, Lord, I'm up here." And he would have kept walking. I believe he would have kept walking. He would not acknowledge her. That was the program in times past. There was advantage and disadvantage. Go to Luke 19.
Her faith is what made her acknowledge that program, because she obviously had faith. Who he was and what he was doing. Like, she just believed God.
That's
counted as righteous.
That's what faith is. In any dispensation, you believe God, he counts it as righteousness. Then you get in that program. Okay? A lot of people talk about faith plus works. You know, a lot of our dispensational friends will draw a line and say, "Oh, you know, there's a line over here and there's a line over here." I believe wholeheartedly, until somebody shows me different, that even through Paul in Romans chapter 4 shows us what Abraham believed in. And it was believed God, and God counted as righteousness. Israel believed God. Then they got in the works program, the law program, to be sanctified, set apart. You believe God today through the Lord Jesus Christ that He died and buried and rose again, and you set yourself apart from this world. Follow me? You get into the program. Over here, they're going to believe God. He's sitting on the throne. And there's still going to be sacrifices. Okay? And all this stuff. They're still going to believe God. And God's got a program over there. It's called the law. It's called judgment. Okay? In any dispensation, it's faith in God. Look at Luke chapter 19. Luke 19 was Zacchaeus, is his name? Verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who was who he was, and he could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him glory. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to the house, for as much as he is a son of
Abraham.
Advantage or disadvantage?
Advantage.
Salvation has come to his house, deliverance from what he was just sharing about, what he gave away and not gave away. You got to understand about salvation. There's plenty of salvations in the Bible. Once you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, you're saved, and you're never, that's a saved from eternal damnation, separated from God Almighty. And he does it one time.
Soul salvation.
Does it one time, period. And never be brought up ever again. Okay. Then there's working out your salvation with much fear and trembling. We worked all through those passages. You do that, your daily deliverance from this evil present world. You think, well, just because you're saved today, you go out there and the whole world's happy-go-lucky and everything falls into play? It don't, does it? We got job situations. We got marriage situations. We got family situations. We got children situations. You know, daily pressure, daily temptations always on you. But you can work out that fear and trembling by knowing who you are in Christ Jesus and let Christ do it inside of you. Man, that's made a world of difference in my life in many situations that I don't let emotions, if I allow my emotions to make my decisions, boy, I'd be a worldly wreck. Because many of you know me, I'm a busy man. I've got a lot of responsibility on me, not just here, but, you know, schools and everywhere. And, you know, family. You think it's, it's just lovely raising my family. So.
Peachy,
there you go. Let's move on, because I've got a few more minutes. Look at, was that advantage or disadvantage? Okay, Matthew 15 about the woman. Was that advantage or disadvantage?
Disadvantage
at the beginning, okay? But now, Romans chapter, but now, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And get Romans chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 2, we looked at verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called circumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Two groups of people. Circumcision, uncircumcision. By that, at that time, what time was that again? Okay. Ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. These people down here, uncircumcised people, that's who they were. Advantage or disadvantage?
Disadvantage.
Okay. We also found out in Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 3 who had the advantage. Who are the Israelites? They had every one of those. Okay. What's verse 13 says? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime were far off were made nigh by what? Okay. But now something's changed. That's why, and we use this as a tool. Okay, it's a guide, it's a chart. It's your Bible on a chart. Okay, and this is time past. And this up line, this top line refers to the nation Israel. Okay, through the prophetic prophecy program. Okay? This is your Bible on prophecy. not your brain on drugs, you know, your Bible on prophecy. Okay? That's times past and what God is doing over here. When Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again, he came back to the 11 at that time, and he told Peter and them, he taught them for 40 days. He had a 40-day seminar with them. And they was going out, and they was going out to teach what Christ did at Calvary. He died. And Acts chapter 2, Peter preached, he preached the cross, but you with wicked hands crucified. It wasn't good news to them. Okay? He gave them 1 year. You know the parable of the fig tree? Lord wanted to cut it down. And the guy said, no. Lord, give us 1 year. I'll dung it. I'll do all that. If it don't produce fruit, then you could cut it down. Okay? 1 year in the book of Acts. Stoning of Stephen. Israel falls. Okay? Israel falls. And it raises up a button now. God is doing something totally different. Israel falls in the book of Acts. That's what the book of Acts do. It's a transitional book to tell you that going from the law principle down to the grace principle. And if you really read the book of Acts, you can see it all has to do with the nation Israel. You and I are not in there. We can find bits and pieces. But Paul goes to who? The Jew. Okay, but when he shook hands in Galatians chapter 2, and Paul and James and Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars of the church, perceived that the gospel was given to me the same as given to Peter. You got to watch how you read that. Different versions say they're preaching the same gospel. They shook, gave the right hand of fellowship that they would stay with the circumcision, and Peter would go to the... Paul would go to the... Heathen, or Gentiles, heathen. So you know what that tells me? Anybody that didn't get saved in Peter and James' days in that gospel are what?
Heathen.
That's why when you look in Romans chapter 3, go to Romans chapter 3, verse 9. Romans chapter 3 verse 9 says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under... Everybody is down here now. Jew and Gentile are down here.
He didn't stop favoring Israel and then start favoring the Gentiles.
Nope. They Yeah, exactly. God did not elevate us up to Israel status. Israel status fell down to the Gentile status. There is no difference. In Romans chapter 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 6-4 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the
ungodly.
Okay. Verse 8. But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for... Verse 10, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You see that? Ungodly, sinners, and enemies? You know, once you trust Christ died for your sins, buried, and rose again, you're no longer ungodly? You may think you are, because your flesh is telling you that. But God don't see you ungodly. He sees you a child. But He don't see you that way. And that's why Romans chapter 1 through 5 is very, very important for a new believer. And understand, if you get Romans 1 through 5 down and it deals with justification, you never bring that up again. I don't bring it up, but I know in my mind it's there. You know what I mean? I'm not going to make God out to be a liar. It deals with justification. You're justified. Once you're justified, it's settled. Abraham was justified. Did he keep, Lord, I feel like I'm a sinner every day. He understood that. You should understand that. I'm not being ugly. I'm just, you know, but look, you're a child. You're no longer sinners, but you're a saint. That makes me walk different. That don't, you know what I mean? You want to see fruit, don't you? If you know somebody's saved, don't you want to see some fruit in their life? You know, like, hey. And if they're not there, you try to bring them around and say, look at this. I know where you're at. I've been there. You know? Let God help you through His Word. We want to be helpers of your joy, not to have dominion over your faith. I'm not going to put you under a law system here. You've been beat up all your life. You understand who you are in Christ and let Christ bring you to this reality and get in a book that builds you up in the doctrine, sound doctrine. That's why it's very, very important to get in a Bible-believing church that preaches and believes, one, that they have the Word of God, and two, that Word of God works effectively in those that believe it. And did you understand the Word of God rightly divided? In verse 11 or 10, you're no longer enemies, but you're an ambassador. Didn't we just do that course? Went through a whole, I don't know how many weeks, half a year probably, the way we go. You know, and understand you're an ambassador of Christ. You're no longer enemy. He's got a minister of reconciliation with bringing peace. That's a good message out there. And what we can do is learning this, understanding the Word of God rightly divided, and through contrast, you'll be able to identify contrast and people's ideas about the world. Man, we've got the perfect opportunity in this world that what's going on out there, people want to know why there's tsunamis. And why is it warm, 54 degrees on February 19th? And you know, and why is the stock market this? And why is that? You know, we shouldn't be worried about that stuff, should we? But you know what? You can find out where they're at and say, let me show you something. This is what God's doing. He's with peace at the world right now. It's not God that's doing all this stuff. When He spins the world, He hasn't stopped it. But there is, you know, on the other side, there is a God of this world, isn't there? That has control of this world. Father, we do thank You for the day, and we thank You for so much in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.